Welcome to episode 265 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to cool off after coming inside during a heat wave. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about the best ways to learn a new board game. First, we discuss a game we both got to play recently, Play Things. Then, we talk about the variety of ways you and your friends can utilize to learn new games, along with some of our favorite methods. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
All right, first, a couple of announcements. We have some more new merch. We keep making
Hooray!
New merch. Yeah, now that we have Procreate and Apple Pencil and stuff, I've been like drawing a lot. So I made a new board game Hourglass t-shirt, which I had like an idea for a while ago of an hourglass.
Yeah, we workshopped that idea forever ago.
Yeah, but it has like little board game components in the top, and then it's like goes down in the bottom. It has like the themes come to life, kind of like so the actual things, like I have a castle and a sheep. Instead of like little meeples at the top. I drew it, so like it didn't end up as good as like in my mind, but I'm happy with how it came out. And then my kid made a steampunk meeple. Just one day he's like, if I make something, can you put it on a shirt? And I'm like, yeah. So he drew also on Procreate a steampunk meeple because he likes steampunk stuff. But I haven't like bought the shirt for him yet. And so he's like, why didn't you get it for me yet? And I'm like, I just made an order before he did that. And then I want to like do multiple things for shipping. So
yeah.
But anyways, you can get that merch at merch.boardgameblitz.com anytime.
Hooray! And then our other announcement, in case you haven't been following along or in case we didn't actually tell you the number, which is more likely, we are heading toward the end of the podcast officially, and this is the anti-penultimate episode, which we had to look up. Like, I was like, I know what penultimate means, but what's the one before that? The three from, or the two from the end, and it is anti-penultimate. And there's other, if you look up the four from the end and five from the end, they just keep tacking more things onto the word, and it's quite funny. But yes, after this episode, there will be two more episodes. Mm-hmm. So there will be one more kind of standard episode, and then our final episode, which will come out in the beginning of August, is going mm-hmm. to be our very special finale that we are recording together in person, which we don't get to do very often. So yeah,
we're gonna have one or two other episodes that we record together, I think.
Yeah, in 10 years, like we've barely ever recorded in the same place. So it'll be fun. I will probably cry. But yeah, that's, you guys have two more after this to look forward to, and then you can listen to the backlog of 264 others prior to today, at yep. least, and other podcasts or whatever.
Yeah. And our YouTube.
Yeah.
Recently, we both got a review copy of Play Things from DVC Games. Play Things is a 2026 published game published by DVC Games, designed by Jasper Beatrix, Jerry Bright Jr., Joey Paluccini, and Nick Tofani is on here. Oh, that's the artist. Okay. I was looking at the box and comparing it with BGG. So yeah, all those names are on the box here.
And this one releases July 20th officially. So when you all hear this, this game is not fully released yet, but it's close. Yes. It's almost here.
I didn't actually realize when it released, but yes. So we got a review copy before it released, clearly.
We love the folks at DVC Games. Like, yeah. Like this is not, like, it's not a bias thing, but like, we've kind of been in communication with them since they were,
since
they ran
were
their prior company.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were Story Machine Games for a while, and then they kind of took a break for a while, and then they came back as DVC Games, and they're just lovely humans, and we happen to end up liking a lot of their games, but not all of them. Like, there was a game of theirs that I wasn't keen on, so like, just know that, like, we tell the truth, but we do really enjoy the people who make these games.
Yeah, so Play Things is a game for 3 to 5 players, 20 to 30 minutes, ages 13 plus. The theme is there's a night terror that's like stealing the toys, or like hiding the toys, what is it, takes the toys and hides them around at night when you're sleeping. And so in the game, you kind of take turns being a one versus many game. So there's one person that takes turns being the night terror, and then everyone else is the
guests, I think is what they call them.
But there's a mat. A lot of DVC games come in this sort of format, this magnetic closure box and like a mat for the board of cloth mat and then cards and items and stuff. But the mat has like a room layout, a top view room layout. So it's kind of like
a blueprint.
Like blueprint
style.
with Yeah, some picture. It's all black and white, so it's like a kind of a spooky atmosphere. And then there's these wooden blocks that are these toy chests, and on the bottom it says the name of the toy. So the Night Terror at night is going to be placing these out onto the board. It has to be like one per room, and then while everyone else has their eyes closed or not closed, which I'll get to later. But like each person, each guest is going to have a card that says what their toy is, and they're trying to guess what that where that toy is during the day phase when they all open their eyes after all of them have been placed out. So the Night Terror is going to say like, oh, I'm placing the sword. And then they do it, whatever. They can make other noises and stuff, and then eventually place the sword, and then they say, oh, okay, I'm placing the doll. So they have to say what they're placing, and then place it, and then say the next thing. And then the players are listening, and then they also have these traps.
There are a lot of traps.
There's a bunch of cards. They're going to get, like, three traps that they get to do. And there's lots of different types. They have icons, and they describe it in the book. But there's these different, like, there's these strings, and these bells, and, like,
jingle, jingle, jingle.
Of the traps are, like, you put your finger under there, the mat, to try to listen to it. Or try to feel it.
Feel things. Yeah,
listen with your finger. But yeah, there's a lot of different traps. Some are more powerful than others.
Yeah, in some of them, you're stretching a string across either above or under the mat, or you can use the box on top of or under the mat as well. And so you're both physically manipulating the play space in a way that will make it harder for the Night Terror, and also kind of just hindering their ability to get to the play space in some instances as well.
Yeah. So they set all their traps. So you like put your hands there and whatever, put things in the way, and then close their eyes, and the Night Terror places their things at night. But you can peek. So as a guest, you can open your eyes during the night to see where they're putting the toys. And if you ever peek, that counts as peeking. And the Night Terror, you don't actually care if the guests guess their toys. The guests get points for guessing their toys and for like the number of toys that have been guessed. But then the Night Terror gets points for guessing correctly if a person has peeked or not. So you don't care that much, like, whether people actually get their toys, but you care more about, like, whether they peaked or not, and if you can guess that correctly. And you kind of guess, like, a codename style where you're guessing the most obvious one first, because once you guess wrong, then your turn's over for the Night Terror.
Yeah.
So, like, you guess, oh, I peaked, or you peaked, yes, or you didn't peak, yes. Either way, you get 2 points. But if the person peaked and you guessed correctly, then you get to take the 2 points from them. You don't have to, but you can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to, like, everyone's going to take turns being the Night Terror. And then, like, the players get points for their own toy, guessing that, and also for the total number of toys that have been guessed. If you don't guess your own toy on the first try, then there's, like, another card that gets flipped over that gives an extra clue. Yeah, there's a play card. So one example is choose a player who has not guessed correctly yet. They get an additional guess. Another one was
an invisible dog leash. There's a bracelet that you tie a string onto during setup. You can toss that onto the board. And if you can hook a toy and pull it off the mat, you get to flip it face up.
Yeah. Some things like let you flip up toys or something. So that helps give you some more information and you get another guess. And so you get like 2 points if you got on the first guess, 1 point if you get on the second guess, and then 1 point per toy that was guessed correctly. So you're getting kind of your individual points, but kind of also working together to try to get more points by having other people guess their things too.
Yeah, we generally like worked fully as a group. We played four players, and the three people that were not the Night Terror always were helping each other like the whole time.
Yeah, so us, we only played like one time and we played like two rounds, and so yeah, we were helping each other, but I could see it being like you kind of want them to guess on the second guess and not the first one, so I could see you like trying to lead them a little bit off maybe if you had some information.
We're messing with each other's minds and physical sensations as much as possible, and it was great. I was singing while I was placing mine. Like, I'd say the name of the thing, and then I started singing while I was placing it. And we also, like, when we had, like, people would say, okay, I'm placing it, and then they wouldn't place it when they said they were placing it, because you don't have to say when you're placing the thing. You just have to say the name of the item between when you pick it up and when you put it down. And so, like, people be like, okay, I placed it, but then they'll, like, move their hand more and put it somewhere else. But if somebody's peeking, they would obviously see that, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was play things. My group, it wasn't really for my group.
Oh, no!
As I said, we played a few rounds, and then we were like, okay. Because our group, no one peeked, which made it kind of weird. And then, so, I was the Night Terror once, and then then one of my friends was the Night Terror. When I was the Night Terror, the traps weren't that great. And so, like, it was harder for them to figure things out. And then when my friend was the Night Terror, the trap, like, let us cover half of the board and, like, have our hands on the other half so, like, we could feel everything happening. So, we, like, no one needed to peek to figure out exactly what was going on. And so...
Okay, so... Can you help me out? Because we struggled with, first off, my group actually really enjoyed this. We were laughing. We had a lot of fun. But we struggled with understanding how the traps get distributed and selected. Because the way the book described it, if I am remembering correctly, which I maybe not, because we really didn't understand what we were supposed to do. It said to deal 3 trap cards face up to each player. Oh, I thought it was did they 3... mean one?
I think it was player. 3 traps total.
So that's okay. Where, because we definitely did that wrong. So it's 1 face up to each player. I swear it said 3
face up. No, I think it's 3 player. Face up for all to see. It's just 3 of the friend cards, which are the traps. And that's for everyone. But like a lot of them have multiple icons on them. So like one of them had 5 of the same icon on it, like, so we could do the same thing 5 times, and so we could have like 5 fingers under the board. Yeah, but then that's distributed amongst the people however you want, I think. But yeah, no one peeked. So that was kind of, I think, like, maybe if there were more peeking, it might be more interesting. I don't know. But then, like, it wasn't that exciting for our group. So we didn't play that long. But yeah, you liked it.
I will admit, it's not worded super clearly because it says the guest players draw 3 random friend cards face up for all to see. And that's all it says. So that to me implied that each player draws.
Well, that would be 3. So many.
Well, that's the thing. We realized very quickly that that didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so then what we did is we were like, okay, well, we have all 9 cards out every time. What do we do? So we just picked like 3 traps each time. So we were kind of still playing correctly, but we were choosing our traps, which is definitely more advantageous. Yeah. And it was so funny. We had bells. We attached bells to some of the strings and then put them across. And like Greg was deliberately hitting the bells like in the places where he wasn't putting things. And then in one of the rounds, we had players holding up 2 of the corners of the mat. And so I would like take the item and like push on the mat a little bit so they would pull on their hand a tiny bit, and then I'd go put it somewhere else. And so they'd be like, oh, well, for the train, I felt her put something over here. And he'd be like, wait, I felt it too. So it was funny. It was neat though, because even when you weren't sure, there were still kind of ways to figure things out. And yeah, I really liked this. This is not a game that I'm going to be breaking out every single week. Like, it's definitely kind of more of a like party style game, or I think it would be a really good convention game, honestly, even though hearing is kind of a part of it, depending on which traps. Yeah, need a quiet room,
I think.
Yeah, but like, this is one of those games that like, if somebody's going to walk by at a convention and see you with your hands holding the mat, and like, this is a perfect, I think, convention game if you can find a space where you can hear things. Mm-hmm. It's not super essential to hear well, but it's definitely helpful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one is a winner for me, and it's definitely unique.
Like, Playthings is, like all DVC games, I think, is unique, very different. Theme works well, I think, with the experience. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it's coming out later this month. I believe you can order or pre-order them directly from DVC Games' website. We will try and link that in the show notes. But yeah, if you enjoy kind of games with sensory elements to them that are a little silly, but not super silly, like this is kind of right in that wheelhouse.
Yeah, and also like you mentioned like the rule book not being super clear. And I think similar with like the traps, it's like it's not going to be like where you know the rules for certain or like are abiding by like strict rules. It's like a, like it tells you like, oh, you just say it, for you can do anything, you can sing, you can do whatever, like when you're placing the things, it's creative.
Yes. And it does say that like the rules should be interpreted like within the spirit of the game, basically. Yeah. Like there are some things that you could interpret in different ways. And I think as long as the group kind of comes to a consensus, I think some of that ambiguity is fine. The cover is super creepy.
Yes.
I like it.
The art style and fits with a theme too. Like all the black and white and dark.
The eyes.
Creepy, yeah. I always find it hard to put these back in the box, though.
I know. I love their box style. I love the magnetic closure. I love that they're small, but not too small. But yes, they do pack a lot of components into their boxes. And this is one of those ones that you're like, oh, I need like, to play Jenga like hardcore. Like,
how do I put it back?
Yeah. Like, I know I took them all out of here, but how do I get them back in? So, yeah. And technically, I'd have one less silica packet than was originally in there, too. Yeah. That did not give me enough space.
So anyways, that's a Play Things.
From DVC Games.
Yeah.
Back in episode 113, which was released in 2020, so 6 years ago. How was 2020 6 years ago?
Oh, wow.
How does that? Whatever. We did an episode on teaching games, specifically like tips for how to teach board games. And so we, figured it's been long enough that that topic is something that we could revisit, but we're kind of going to do it slightly differently. Instead of just talking about teaching, we're going to talk about the whole overall experience of learning a board game and all of the like different ways that can happen, some of the ways we prefer, and some of the ways that are a little ridiculous, but possible.
I think we've probably mentioned like ways that we've preferred before, like in passing.
Yeah, I imagine that that is the case, but in case and we haven't or people don't remember, do you have a favorite way to learn a board game in particular?
So I think I usually like reading the rule book myself, but also having the components out. So I can like move them around and look like as I'm reading the rule book, see like it talks about this component and then I look at the component and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So I can like make my own examples kind of in case the rule book doesn't have great examples. But if the rule book has like pictures for everything and examples, then I don't need the components as much. But it is still nice to hold them.
Yeah. I generally prefer to have games taught to me than for me to be the teacher. Mostly because I just like, if I'm teaching games, I'm always worried that I'm not doing it well, even if I am. Like, I just get paranoid. And it's interesting because in the past, I have really not been a super good verbal learner. But I think with board games, because there is stuff to look at, like we'll generally set the game up first and then go through things. I think that helps because then I can look at everything while it's being explained, and that works for me. I also, in the past, have also enjoyed watching a tutorial video beforehand. Like, it'll give you a lot, but you won't necessarily digest all of it. So then coming to the game session with that knowledge and then having somebody else teach it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's that again? And that has proved successful for me. I don't like reading rule books. The number of games in my collection that I've probably never actually fully read the rule books for is likely a very high percentage.
I said I prefer reading rule books, but I think that's like just so I know for sure like what the rules are. But in practice, I don't do it as much, like because like if someone else already knows it, then I'll let them teach, and then I'm fine with like them verbally teaching me, and then like I look at the stuff, and I can usually learn pretty well from that too. But yeah, like reading the rule books takes extra time that I don't have all the time. But sometimes I do like looking at it.
Yeah. And the context sometimes is just missing. Like, even if the rule book is super clear, well organized, really well written, when you don't have the context of how the game actually works in your head already, sometimes the rules just like you can't conceptualize them completely. Like, okay, when the red Fleeble Flobbles move to the Palace of Wonder, you know, roll the legacy dice. And it's like, I don't know what any of those things are. To be clear, I made all of that up. That's not a real game.
But yeah, that's why I like having the components, because then it's like the red Fleeble Flobbles. And I look through the components, I'm like, oh, here's a red thing. I'm like, that looks like it could be a Fleeble Flobble.
Seems like a Fleeble Flobble. Yeah, I don't know.
Or like look at the components. There's like 23 Fleeble Flobbles. I'm like, okay, there's 23 of these things. So this is...
I think I just invented my new favorite component that does not exist. I want Fleeble Flobbles. Someone give me Fleeble Flobbles. So yeah, I think for me, that's like, I don't mind reading. I like to read, but reading rule books, my brain starts to glaze over because it's just like, I don't understand. I can't piece this together in my head. But yeah, once the components are out, that does help for me as well.
Yeah. And then for like watching a video before, I don't usually like watching rule videos, but for when we learned 18XX, the first time. We watched a few videos and I think also read a rule book beforehand, and then my friend taught it. So for like more complicated stuff, I think that makes sense. And sometimes for more complicated games, I think I'll read the rule book first and then look at a tutorial. So like that order. I don't like looking at a tutorial first, I think, usually. Like I won't just learn from watching a video usually. I have to read the rule book and then like look at the video for some help, or like I look at the video for some stuff, like fast forward through the video and then read the rule book.
Yeah. And the complexity of the game, kind of as you half mentioned there, really does play a role here, because there are some games that are really easy to learn from a video and others that very difficult when you're not manipulating the components yourself or really looking at things in a more detailed way. But thankfully, there are a lot of content creators that make rule videos. Our friend Rodney Smith from Watch It Played is, I would say, probably the most famous. He's got to be up there. I imagine he's probably the most famous.
Probably.
Yeah. And he's a lovely human. So his videos tend to be ones that I gravitate toward if he has one available for a particular game. But
I have videos too. I don't watch them.
You make awesome videos when you make them.
Yeah, I haven't made an instructional one in a while. But I think I did actually watch. I watched my Trajan one, like, because I hadn't played Trajan. I played Trajan again, like, within the last year recently, but I hadn't played it in a long time before that. So I think I watched it to, like, remember how to play. And that worked.
I love that you taught yourself the game then. Like, that's adorable. Have you ever had a game session where you knew a game that was going to be played in advance, and everyone was told to read the rule book on their own? Have you ever had a situation where that has been the case?
I'm not sure. Well, I think the only thing was like 18XX. Like the first time we played, I think my friend sent us the rule book and two videos. And this was before like there were many videos on, well, because I made a lot of the videos on 18XX, but but yeah, there was a Scott Nicholson video on like the concept, I think. And so we watched some of that. I think he pointed us to like a specific part of it. And then maybe it was just that one video. And then we read the rules and it was 18AL, which is what we played. Yeah, I remember I did read the rules, and like there's no pictures in those rules, but I watched the video and then read the rules. And yeah, I think we all read it in advance, but that's the only one, I think.
Yeah, this hasn't happened a lot for me. I think there have been a couple instances where that was kind of the goal, but it's often like at least one or two people forget or don't have a chance to do it or whatever. I believe, and I'm sure Greg will correct me on this the next time I see him if I'm wrong, but the first time we played Vast the Crystal Caverns, I think we had like planned that we knew we were going to play it. And so I think some of us, myself included, like we didn't necessarily read through the entire rule book, but we read through character. We read through our character, like our abilities, what we could do, and then like skimmed through the other people's too, because you kind of do need to know what the other players are doing. But like, if we had all come to the table with zero knowledge in advance, the teach for that game is a beast. Because you really, like, everybody has to be taught individually, essentially. Yeah. It's such a fun game. I really like it, but it's hard to get to the table because you need people who are either already familiar with it or willing to kind of take that extra step in helping get the learning level up. And not everybody likes doing that.
I think it's more common for people to send out a video for everyone to watch beforehand than like telling them all to read the rules beforehand.
Yeah,
but even
that's
with
true.
That, like people don't all watch the video beforehand.
No, they do not.
Like I remember, I think we had a work event. This was a long time ago, back when I was still at a job. But we played Codenames, I think. And so they sent out a video in the meeting invite like, oh, everyone can watch this video to learn how to play Codenames. And then a lot of people didn't. And so then they just played the video before, when people were there too. But I mean, that's like a relatively simple game to learn.
I mean, I've definitely pulled out a video for a group before for games kind of like that, where like the explanation isn't teeny, but it's also not long, and you're like, this video really sums it up great. Here, just watch this rather than listen to me ramble. There are some games that kind of build the learning of the game into the game itself. I know I've played a couple examples of this over the years, but like you literally can get out the box and like it says the top of the deck is like, okay, flip this over and go, and we'll teach you the game as you're playing. And I think in my experience for those types of games, at least the ones that I've played, that it's a really fun experience in the moment, but it doesn't stick as well in my mind, like the actual rules, because like by the time later comes around, I'm like, I don't remember how to do that one thing because we just kind of did it and blew past it, right? Like I feel like I wasn't committing things to memory as well in a situation like that.
That's kind of like a video game tutorial.
Yeah, so it is, I think, actually.
I remember Legends of Andor was like that, and that was like an early one, but then with legacy games, it does that kind of, and I think a lot of children's games also, children's legacy games, and are like Cozy Sticker Fill, which I've played a lot. No, that one,
we're gonna go, I mean, we're trying to hit the world record for most mentions of Cozy Sticker Fill 2026.
That one, like, it has rules, but then it's like not many rules, and then you start, and then a lot of the rules are in the cards. I think, yeah, there's a lot of card games have rules mostly in the cards, and so like the rules themselves are more simple, but then it's like, oh, as you play, you're gonna have all this errata. Like, oh, with like living card games too, or like Netrunner and stuff, they would have the glossary of all the stuff. I mean, the rules themselves were also hard, but like there's a whole glossary of card terms and stuff, so it's like there's more rules as you get more into it.
I think that's why those games tend to, it feels overwhelming in a way, even though some of those games are obviously amazing and lots of people love them. I think I've always just kind of been like, I don't want to get in deep, and if I like the thing, that's what I'll want to do, so I just don't do it at all.
But then there are also games that have like a tutorial game.
Oh yeah, like a special setup for the first game.
Yeah, so like in Cuba Libre, which is a coin game from GMT, they have like the rule book and then like a player's handbook, I think. And then the player's handbook has like a starting game that tells you like the first two turns or something of a game. And then it's like, okay, now you know how to play and you can finish it. Did I end up doing that? I think I might have done that. But I also read the rule book and then did the player's handbook. But I think like it says you can just do the player's handbook, which I think was true, but I like reading the rulebook too.
Yeah, I know I've played, and this actually, sometimes this becomes a tough decision for me, like when you're reading through the rulebook and it's like, if this is your first time playing, you know, use these components and leave these ones out. There have been times where I'm trying to figure out whether, as a hobby gamer who is very familiar with games, if I should just go ahead and throw everything in, because in some games, the intro game is actually kind of boring and doesn't really give you, like, Heat. Dude, when you don't have all the special cards in Heat, Pedal to the Metal, that's why I didn't like it at first. Because we didn't, like, it was the bare bones version of it with, like, nothing added in. And I was bored. I didn't like it. And then I played Heat with all the cards and I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is what everyone else was talking about. But it's hard. I'm like, I don't want to make it too complicated for people, you know, unnecessarily.
Yeah, and then with Bomb Busters, the first three missions, I think, are like tutorial kind of. And so like I read the rules and then I was looking at the setup for the first mission and it didn't have any bombs in it. Like, like it didn't have any of the red ones. Like it goes only the blue wires, and then the second mission introduces yellow wires, and then the third mission introduces the red one, and then the fourth one has like all the rules. And so like I had read all the rules and then I was like doing the setup for the first mission. I'm like, wait, why doesn't it... Like, what? And so I looked through, I'm like, oh, okay. So we just started on mission four because I was like, I've read the rules, I know.
I think when I joined you all and when I first played it, I think you guys were like, oh yeah, we're just going to do mission 11. Like, or something.
I think it was eight.
Okay. Yeah, because they were, I mean, it's one of those things where, first off, I want to say I very much appreciate games that do provide kind of that easier barrier to entry for the people who need it. But also sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, that's boring. I don't want to do that. Let's get to the fun stuff.
But yeah, I think that's like on your note of games introducing things one at a time, where it's kind of like a middle ground. It's not having no rules at the beginning where you just flip a card, but it had like some rules, and then it's kind of like introducing the rules through the missions. And I guess a lot of mission campaign games do that. Like I think the Fellowship of the Ring trick-taking game, which I've only played some of it, but I think like the first missions were pretty easy and like simple.
Yeah, they're not,
and
then, they're not like, too hard.
People say like as more chapters, it gets like the interesting stuff happens later, but it's like takes a while for people who are already familiar with trick takers. So I guess that's a double-edged sword. It's like good for people who are beginners, but then gets boring for people who are not.
Yeah. And then of course there's the classic person at the table who just doesn't want to listen to you talk at them and they're like, can we just start playing? Can we just start? Can we just go? Well, can we learn as we go? And inevitably, then one turn in, they will have four questions. And it's like, this is why we wanted to go over the rules. Like, you don't have any idea what you're supposed to be doing right now. Like, yes, learning rules can be a little bit boring. But if you want to play games and you care about playing them somewhat accurately, you gotta do it. And yes, I think trying to optimize those teaches as best you can is good, but there are times when you're just gonna have to sit there and listen to somebody talk at you for 20 or 30 minutes depending on how complex the game is. I mean, shoot, for Star Trek Ascendancy, for brand new players, like for lots of brand new players, it has taken me an hour to teach that game, like,
oh my gosh,
fully. Just because there's so much, and you, it's one of those games where you need to be aware of everything before you start, because if you start poorly, it will get bad fast. And so it's tough. Battlestar Galactica is the same way. You have to know everything going in.
Yeah, but I guess with those, it's like that type of game is where you would try to send out the rules ahead of time if you know you're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what we did for when we played Twilight Imperium. I don't actually remember, like, the first time we played, how the rules were learned. I don't know.
I don't actually remember how I learned the first time I played Twilight Imperium either. I'm probably never playing it again, so it really doesn't matter to me. I've played it, what, three times? That's enough. I'm good. Well, we would love to hear from you all. What are your favorite games to teach? Or what games were easy to learn? Or do you have any tips and tricks for teaching or learning games that might benefit the board game community that we didn't mention? If so, please post on social media and tag us, or comment in the Blitz Discord and tell us there. We've got a channel specifically dedicated to talking about the podcast, so you can come talk about the podcast there. We'd love to see you in the Discord. That community is going to stay alive after the podcast ends, and we do lots of funny things in there. We have game night twice a week, lots of discussions and cool stuff happening in the Discord all the time. So come join if you're not a part of it already.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. Do you hear the call of the gods? The new Gods and Prophets expansion for Reavers of Midgard is still available for late pledges, so head to Kickstarter now to get your copy. And if you want to buy games at grayfoxgames.com, you can get 10% off everything in your order with the code BLITZ2026 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider, or by getting some official Blitz swag at merch.boardgameblitz.com. Want to just give us money and enjoy some unique perks? Check out our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, we don't need no board game rule books.
Bump, 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 bumps.
We don't need no tutorial. Bye, everyone!
Bye!
The new Gods and Prophets expansions for Reavers of... Expansions? It's expansion.
Did I type an S?
No. I just said it because...
Oh, okay.
Because I was thinking in plural, like there's gods and prophets, yeah, and expansions and reavers.
So everything is plural.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything is plural.
All right.